Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Friday, September 1st, 2017. First of the month, we have a first-rate person here. This is Jeff Budd. He is the community liaison for the 150th celebrations for Alaska Day.
Commemoration.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Part of what's been so interesting about this whole month of talks and events is to add kind of an educational dimension to this historical moment for Sitka and for Alaska. And there are a few talks happening this month. Let's just go through them one by one.
All right. Well, so we're doing this in cooperation, the Sitka Historical Society with the Sitka National Historical Park, and that's Ranger Ryan. So September 6th, we're going to have Harvey Brandt and Mike Morris talking about the ice business. And of course, we're talking about Swan Lake. And that'll be at the National Historical Park, 7 o'clock. All this is free. The 13th of September is Anne Elise Polnow, and she'll be on the phone, I think, a little bit talking about
what she's going to do. Yes, she will. She'll be joining us.
So we'll let her tell. And then on September 20th is Jenya Anachenko, and she's a new director over at the Maritime Historical Society.
Maritime Heritage Society.
Yeah. And yep. she's going to talk about love at the time of Russian America, and that'll be at the Centennial Building. And then finally on September 27th, Bob Sam will be talking about Sitka cemeteries. So we were talking, it's going to go from ice to love to death.
The series is concluding with ice, love, and death, yep. Which is probably a proper story for Alaska. Now, yeah, Anne Polnow is on the line with us. Anne, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Anne.
So, Anne, your talk on September 13th, and all these talks are taking place 7 p.m. at the Sitka National Historical Park. As Jeff said, he's organizing it with Ranger Ryan Carpenter. Your talk, Anne, is called Before Contact, Linking Local Archaeological Finds and Tlingit Oral History Prior to Russian Contact. So what sources are you drawing from in putting together this talk, and what can Sitkans expect from it?
Well, I'm narrowing down archaeological sites to my area of research and study, which is fish weirs and fishing structures in the intertidal zone. I'm going to be going over what has been cataloged so far and some new sites that we've discovered in the last couple years, quote-unquote discovered, and just relating those to the environment, how the indigenous people used fishing structures and just their makeup and, just going over the record.
Very interesting. Where are these fish weirs located?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of study has been done in all over southeast Alaska and the Alexander Archipelago, and a lot of it on the west coast of Baranof Island has been ignored, and this is the Shiatica-Kwan area. The traditional territory mm-hmm. of the Shiatica-Kwan, the Sitka people. Mm-hmm. And although a lot of these sites were part of the record, a lot of publications and studies have ignored these sites on the west coast and focused on the inner sites mm. like over on Petersburg and the east coast of Baranof Island. So I'm going to go over a lot of sites that have been left out of publications and talk about comparing these sites to other sites down in along the whole West Coast. We have a lot of new information from the Prince Rupert area for herring traps and clam gardens.
Very interesting.
That we can compare to the sites that we find on the West Coast of Baranof Island.
So you're really helping fill in the story. And what is...
Right.
What is understanding material culture and archaeological history, what does that add to the overall picture of our history in this region? Why is that important?
Well, it gives us a greater understanding of how people lived here and for how long and what the populations were and an aspect of conservation, how people did actually subsist on these fish and herring for thousands of years. And, we're here celebrating the 150th, and it's really kind of hard to comprehend 10,000 years ago and that conservation effort of, sustaining for that long.
And I think you win the award for talk that is most back in time. I mean, you're really drawing from from a place, and it's such an important story and aspect of the history you're telling. Thanks so much for running through your talk.
Yeah, well, that's my passion, and I'm really excited to share it, and I hope that people come out, and this is a research in progress, so I'm really looking forward to the community involvement and learning what others have to say. You know, I mean, I can share what I know, but I'm sure there's a lot of people to be like, oh, well, have you looked in this cove or this bay? There's this. You know, once you really understand what these structures look like, you'll be like, oh, well, you know, I saw that while I was on my last fishing trip. So, yeah, it'll be fun.
That is a unique aspect of these talks, and I've been to a few of them, and it's just the fact that once they're over, it's a two-way dialogue between you and the person who's speaking. It's opened up to questions. Jenya Onichenko is also giving a talk titled "Love at the Time of Russian America." Jeff, what is her message? Her kind of commercial for her presentation.
Here's what she sent me. So I'm quoting now. As far as my talk goes, I want to invite the audience to put aside all we know about economic premises, political competition, and racial tensions of the Russian America period, and look at the history of a Russian Alaska through a completely different lens, human emotions. We often approach historical events as if people who participated in them were not human beings, but agents of history clad in some sort of ultimate purpose, why they were, just like we are today, driven by their feelings and passions. Love has always been one of humanity's driven forces. In my talk, I will highlight several love stories, some well-known, some obscure, and some perhaps gossip, from the time when Russians called Alaska theirs and discussed the role that love played in the history of Russian America, unquote.
Wow.
I know, it's going to be interesting.
Absolutely. And it will be followed by a talk on another major facet of the human experience, which is death.
Yep.
Bob Sam, longstanding caretaker for cemeteries in Sitka, and he'll be giving a talk on the cemeteries of the region. And it will kind of round out the whole series. What do you think this last month of talks will add in the lead up to the Alaska Day commemoration, the sesquicentennial?
That's a hard question. I think just more information, just like when you were talking with Anna, it's going to be from way, way back to what's going on right now and all the things that's in between. And hopefully this whole 150th thing is looking for a way that we can all kind of understand each other a little bit better, and maybe work together a little bit better, and not have some of the stereotypes that we have.
Hmm.
I think is part of the hope. And so there's going to be a Klan conference. This is off topic, but during the Alaska Day, the 2-week period, that's going to be a Klan conference, and it's the title, not in Tlingit, in English, is Healing Ourselves. And I think it'll be pretty interesting.
Jeff, which talk has been most impactful for you or challenged?
Oh, I like
your
two
thinking
of,
on Alaska.
Two of them I like. I like the one that the archaeologists Margan Grover and Dan Thompson did research on Castle Hill, on the side of Castle Hill, and they found four levels of old buildings that had deteriorated. And in there, they found currency, and they found currency from all over the world. So Russia, Japan, China, Taipei, and they had a world map up, and I didn't write down all the different places, but there were dots from all over the world, and it just goes back to prove that this was really the Paris of the Pacific at that time, you know, those early 1800s. And then I like the one that David Ramsmere did, which was more contemporary, from the 1980s to 1990s, when there was this whole period. His talk was melting the ice curtain between Russia and the United States. And so it was mostly Alaskans and Russians that worked on this thing. So people were going back and forth. Mm-hmm. They finally, after people that lived on Little Diomede or Big Diomede Island hadn't been able to see relatives for 48 years or so, and they finally allowed that to happen. And then, you know, things changed and we're getting back the way we are.
And speaking of icing, the first talk of icing, of melting, I should
That's
say,
right.
The first talk for this month is on the chronology of the ice industry of Alaska from the Russian period into American ownership. Harvey Brandt and Mike Morris will be leading that presentation. All of these are 7 p.m. at the Sitka National Historical Park. And
Jenna, the love one will be at the Centennial Hall.
Centennial Hall. Love needs a big audience.
That's right.
So there's also an opportunity for Sickens to audition for a one-act performance. That's Those auditions are taking place 2 to 6 p.m. at the Pioneers Home Chapel. The performance is directed by Taylor Siambra and written by Zach Desmond. What is that production that will take place?
Well, the play is a one act. It's only about 30 or 40 minutes, and it takes place in 1869, and it uses the protagonist, Lady Franklin. If you remember your history, there's a guy named Franklin that was trying to find the Northwest Passage, and he disappeared. So she's on the West Coast hoping that somehow her husband got through there, but she meets a variety of people here in Sitka, and it just talks about what's going on there and how people were treated and how people reacted to that. And there's a little bit of humor in there. There's a little bit of sadness, I suppose, too. Mm-hmm. But Zach, the guy that wrote it, Zach Desmond, he's off in Juilliard, so he is a talent. And I believe Taylor will do a good job directing it. We'll get some good actors.
And like you said earlier, another way of looking at our history.
Yep.
This is Jeff Budd. He's the community liaison for the 150th commemoration, talking about the Sesquicentennial Speaker Series and the one-act play. Thank you so much for coming on the program with me this morning.
Thank you, Emily.